I want to thank Rob for bringing forth the message last week. The message was absolutely excellent. He did a great job. Didn't he do a great job? Let's give Rob a big hand. Out in where he's at. Is he in there? See, now he preached last Sunday. Now he's in with the kids. He just does so much. Want to really thank him for helping out. Want to ask also that you keep me in prayer. The next couple months are going to be really, really busy for us. We've got that Sunday night a movie night. That's next Sunday night is going to be a great opportunity to come. And I just invite everybody, 6 o'clock, we're going to meet it's in the fellowship hall, right? Oh, no, we're meeting in here because we can't hear in the fellowship hall. We got to meet in here. We're going to meet right in here in this room. It's going to be excellent. I don't know if you know who Louis Giglio is, but he's an excellent speaker, and he's got a couple messages that I think are going to absolutely change the way you think about God, because God is so great. He's so wonderful. And I'm going to be gone for about 3 days on a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'll get with you, Tina, on that. I'm going to a little conference thing or a little spiritual retreat thing and get refreshed, and we're going to have some things going on at Halloween time, and we're going to be pulling out the bounce houses and all this kind of stuff for a family Halloween. Actually, it's a hallelujah. No, it's the Wednesday night before Halloween. We're going to have a time of fellowship and activities for the kids and things. Looking forward to it. A lot of events, a lot of things happening, so please keep us in prayer. Rob did an excellent job talking about the way of salvation, and that there was only one way of salvation, and he was absolutely right, because the world will tell you there's many ways. They'll tell you, oh, there's many roads. And I kind of want to clarify that, because a lot of times when we think of is there not many ways, does that mean you have to be a Baptist or a Presbyterian, or does that mean you've got to be a non-denominational or a charismatic, or what, you know, when you talk about ways to Christ, Rob was absolutely right. There's only one way to Christ. He said, well, which one is it? Is it Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic? Which one is it? There's only one way to Christ, and that's through Jesus. All right? I don't, you know, the denomination that you belong to can be irrelevant, although it can be relevant, depending on whether they're preaching the Word of God. If they're preaching the Word of God, then they're preaching Jesus Christ, and they're giving you the way to salvation. Any other way, it is no way other than Jesus Christ. And I know that sounds arrogant, and I know that there's maybe there's an air of intolerance, but it's really not about tolerance. It's about telling you the truth, okay? There's only, you know, I live here in Huntington. I can give you directions, but I'm going to tell you, there's only one way that you're going to be able to get to my house legally, and that's to come down Flax Mill Road. All right, you're going to come down Flax Mill Road. Now, you can try to go through different yards with your car, or you can walk and skip going on the road. But there's only one road to my house, really, is Flax Mill. I'm in the middle of it, and you either got to drive on Flax Mill, or you've got to try to go around it somehow. And I know that there are some of you that might try to do that, but I would not encourage you. I'd just say drive on Flax Mill, and you'll get to my house. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ, and that's absolutely the truth. Whether you're Presbyterian, whether you're Baptist, you have Baptist heritage, whether you got Catholic heritage, whether you've got non-denominational heritage, charismatic heritage, Pentecostal heritage, whether you're a Methodist, whether you're a un-Methodist, I don't really care. It's through Jesus Christ. And if your church preaches Jesus, the only way of salvation, then that's a church that is teaching you the right way. Now, once we've established that, and once we get to know that, the next thing is, do you want to go that way? See, Jesus gives you... See, Jesus doesn't force anybody. Now, there's other religions that might try to force you to be this or force you to be that. Christ does not force you to do that at all. He gives you the one opportunity, and that says, do you want me or do you not want me? Do you want to be healed or do you not want to be healed? Do you want to be saved or do you not want to be saved? It is your choice. He does not force anybody at the point of a gun. He doesn't force anybody at the point of a sword. There have been those who have forced people at the point of guns or swords. There are even some Christian denominations that have tried to force people at the point of a sword or at the point of torture to whether you're going to be a part of our religion or not. See, if they're forcing you, then it's not Christ. If they're telling you you have to do it, then it's not Christ. Because Jesus tells you, you don't have to. But you better count the cost. You better count the cost. Because there's a cost to your choice. And the reason, and let me tell you something, the cost is unbelievably high of what you choose. It's unbelievably high. The world takes it so nonchalantly. Well, you know, I mean, you can go out into the world and you can ask them, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Christ? And some of them will say, well, you know, don't really know. Or they might say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I don't go to church. I don't need that Bible thing. But you know what? I think I'm going to go to. They take it so nonchalantly, and what they don't realize is whether you know Christ or don't know Christ, the cost is insurmountably high of what you choose, whether you're going to be a believer or not. We talked about that. We talked about the glories in Sunday school, where Dave is leading the Sunday school for the next few weeks. Where we talked about heaven and what heaven. You want to know a little bit about heaven? I'd come at 9 o'clock. We're having it in the library where Dave's leading that, and we're talking about what God has for those who believe. But Jesus always says this. He says, you know, I've got something you won't believe how wonderful it is, but you better count the cost because there is a cost. You don't have to pay for it, but there's a cost. Does that sound kind of, you know, opposite? It sounds that way, but it's not. See, you can't pay for it. The only way you can get it is by receiving it, by accepting it. But there's a cost to it, because if you accept it, there's going to be a cost. One of the reasons that there's a cost is because the reward is so fantastic that really, Jesus says the cost really is irrelevant if you think about it. The scriptures tell us, you know, he says that there's nothing you can give that even compares to the wonders of the glories of what God has for you. See, this is why I have hope. This is why every time I face my bills, I get, anybody, how many face bills every month? You face bills every month? Every time I face my bills and, you know, I look at those, I look at my truck bill and I look at, you know, and I look at my Dave Schrader auto repair bill and I look, I'm going to pay you, Dave, I promise, I really will. You know where I live. You know, just come and get my truck, okay? I know. I look at my electric bill. I look at my heat bill. I look at all my bills, you know, and I look at those things, and they just sort of, you know, the longer I look at them, the more they begin to talk to me. Has that ever happened to you? I'm going to get you. Oh, you're never going to be able to pay me off. Oh. You know, and I think I'm losing my mind when I look at my bills sometimes. But when I look at those bills, I look at what is looking back at me, I say, in my mind, God speaks to me. He says, I've overcome all of that. I've got something for you, and I'm not going to bill you for it. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to give you my heaven. I'm going to give you an eternity with me, a treasure that you can't even imagine. You're never going to have sorrow again. You're never going to cry again. You're never going to worry again. You're never going to fear again. Step into this place with me because I've got it for you, and it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And it's coming soon. Even if I don't come back for another 100 years, it's coming soon. God always reminds me, know what? Your body's not going to last forever. I say, what? This body? Are you kidding me? What are you laughing about? What? This body's going to live? No, you're not going to live forever. But the day you cross over, you're going to understand and you're going to know all the wonders of what I've provided for you. And he reminds me, now do you want it? And you say, oh Lord, you know I want it. See, our thinking needs to change about the things of this life, this earth. And it's okay to enjoy life, and it's okay to enjoy this wonderful world that we have. God gave it to us. You know, God gave us the earth so that mankind could enjoy it. You might say, well, that sounds kind of arrogant. No, let me just tell you, I'm just going to give you the truth of what the Word says, that the whole creation, first of all, it was created for Him. It was created for Jesus Christ. The whole earth was created for Him. All of us were created for Him. This whole planet of pleasure and joy, it was all created for the Lord Jesus Christ, but He shares that with us. He allows us to enjoy it. If you ever go out to, I went out to Colorado Springs a while back, and a few years back, went out to Colorado Springs, and I went out to the Garden of God, of the Gods, I was at a Glen area. It was an evangelism conference, and we had a day off, and we went out to the Garden of Gods park, and it was absolutely all these rock formations. I'm going, God, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. You like it? Oh, I love it, Lord. I love it. I like it too. I made it. And I'm going, wow. He says, you see all this beauty? Say, yeah, it's gorgeous. Created it in 6 days. What do you think of that? I'm thinking, wow. It's beautiful. He says, that's nothing. You just wait. You just wait. I've got something for you. It's going to blow your mind. You just wait. And you know what? I'm still waiting to see it. Now, He's shown me a lot of great things. Most of it has to do with the ones that I love. He's got great things to show us, even more beyond what we've ever seen. Whatever beauty. I was at a wedding rehearsal a couple days ago, and sitting down with some people, and they were talking about their vacations and wonderful places that they had gone to. Some have gone to Sandals, although we need to pray for some of the Sandals communities, because some of them are in Jamaica right now, and I know that they're having difficulties. But some of these wonderful, ever been to, like when we went to Australia, me and my wife, we got the opportunity to go to one of the beaches. My kids rented us a house that was real close to one of the beaches there in Australia, and we had the opportunity to go when the sun was rising. And I tell you, my wife poked me and woke me and said, it's time to go, and I'm going, I'm good. I'll wait. You know, I was in my mind, I was thinking, I'll wait for what God wants to show me, okay? She said, get up. And I go, okay, I'm coming. And so we got up around, I don't know, it must have been 6 in the morning, and that's not usually the time I get up. But I did get up, and I went, and we went down to the beach, and it was kind of nice because there was a big coffee, you know, beach coffee shop there, and we went and got some coffee, and then we walked to the beach, and we sat on a bench there, and we got the chance to see the sunrise over the beach. And that sun came up. I thought, every time I get into those situations, it always brings me back to God. Because I was looking over the ocean. I said, look how vast that ocean is. Look how big that is. And then the sun starts coming up. And I'm thinking, as I see that, and that's why you need to come September 15th, next Sunday night, for that. Because you're going to see how big God is. And for the, actually, two Sundays. It's that Sunday night and then the next Sunday night. Absolutely, both of them will amaze you. But the sun coming up, and I'm looking at, I'm thinking, look how big God is. And I'm just looking at the ocean and the sun. And I'm thinking, look how big, look how great, look at His treasure that we don't have to pay for it. All you have to do is be there to see it. And you're thinking, wow, how wonderful is God. That's just our ocean and our sun. That doesn't include the billions upon billions of suns in our own galaxy, plus the billions upon billions of galaxies that have suns just like the one, some of them far in greater in size than the one we saw that day in Australia. But we saw the beauty and the majesty, you know, and it was like God was speaking to my heart. Now, I'm not one who hears God audibly. At least I don't think I have, but I hear him inside speaking to me. And when we were sitting there watching, wow, look how wonderful I am. Do you want what I have? You know I want it, God. Because I know this is just a taste. This is a taste of the beauty of what God has for us. In fact, he says that the Holy Spirit that he lavishes upon us, that he just gives us so that we can experience him. And now on this earth, we can experience God through the Holy Spirit. He says that's just a down payment. That's a down payment of what I've got for you. I don't know about the down payments you make, but the down payments I make are pretty small in comparison to the principal of what I end up going in debt for. If God says this is just a down payment of what the Holy Spirit gives, it's just a down payment, I can't imagine what it is that the principle is going to be when he lavishes it upon us. But here's the question. You have to count the cost, because there's a cost. Oh, it's free, but there's a cost. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, I'm going to begin reading there. Now, we're going to say some words, and some words in here mean what they say, but it's a different meaning of what it's not saying this exactly. It's saying it in a metaphorical way. I think it's a metaphor. I don't know how those words are. Metaphor. He says this, now great multitudes went with him, talking about Jesus. This is chapter 14 of Luke, the 25th verse is where we'll begin reading. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone wants to come to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's a really tough scripture when you get it, okay? Would everyone agree that's a tough scripture? Let's unpack that for just a moment before we go on. If you want to come to me, you've got to hate your mother, your father, your spouse, your children. If you want to come to me, you've got to hate them. Is he really saying that you've got to hate them? That's not exactly what he means by that phrase. It's a Stefan, help me out. Is that a metaphor or a simile or what, you know, what's the word? You don't know, and I feel good. All right. Hyperbole? Well, is it in the Bible? It's got to be right. It must be a hyperbole. I knew it was one of those words. It's a hyperbole, Stefan. You can remember that next time I ask, okay? Hyperbole. It's a hyperbole. See, he's not really saying you need to hate them. What he's saying is, you've got to love me. You've got to count the cost, and the cost is you love me above all things. It doesn't mean you don't love your family or love your wife or love your children. In fact, your husband, you're supposed to love them. He tells us that you've got to love them as he loves you. So he's not saying that you hate him. What he's saying is, I am first place. That's the cost. I am first place. Everything else has to file in behind that idea and that understanding. And see, that's really hard for us because we're a people that, number one, we're stiff-necked. We like it our way. And number two, we seem to be moved by our emotions and our feelings and our senses far greater than we should be. And there's nothing wrong with feelings, emotions, and senses. God gave them to us. But he never told us to let them rule us. The Word of God is what's supposed to rule us. And the emotions and the feelings, the senses, they're to help us understand our world and to experience it in the manner that God wanted it to be experienced. Because see, we have something that no other creature on earth has. We have that emotions and senses and feelings like other animals aren't really able to experience. They experience them to a certain sense, but they don't experience them like we do, to the extent that we do, because we have an understanding to be able to interpret them properly, or supposed to. He says, I am first place. Everything else follows behind. But see, I'm talking about people who don't know the Spirit, because once you know the Spirit and you have the Spirit in your life, you can understand, yes, God, you're first place. And so if my wife is telling me that I need to do something and it's against God's word, I need to obey you, not her. In every other case, I need to obey her. Happy wife, happy life. Right? I got the thumbs up by one back there. Yeah, that's right. You better preach it, brother. But so God's first place. Everything else follows in behind that. So, and me and my wife, we've already talked that out. You know, yes, God is first place. But I'm a real close second. Yes, amen. So he goes on and he says, after he says that, he says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he gives, he tells us, bear your cross. So there's a cross that needs to be borne, and that's part of the price. Okay, it's part of the cost. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all will see it and they will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king goes to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So he says, you know what? What king would not weigh what it means to go to war if he has to go to war? He's going to weigh it, and he's going to understand, because he's got to see the end before he even starts the beginning, if he's a good king. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. I want to, let's unpack that. Unless you forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. Does that mean he's saying you can't enjoy life? No, that's not what he's saying. Is that another hyperbole? You don't know. Okay. He doesn't mean you can't have a life. In fact, he wants you to have a life. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. In fact, he created this world so you could enjoy it. What it means is that he is first. He is first. And see, that's the way of salvation. You come to Christ, you see the cross, you realize your condition, that there's no way you can get into heaven through any other means. Just like Rob was teaching last week, Jesus Christ is the only way. You've come to that determination. Christ is the only way. And you come to the cross and you come to the realization Jesus is who he said he was. He was not crazy. He was not lying. He is who he said he was. The Son of God. God himself in the flesh. The one who could pay for the sins of the world. See, if any of us could pay for the sins of the world, I'm sure one of us would step up and say, okay, do it to me. You know, but we couldn't do it even if we wanted to, which most of us wouldn't do. See, I just think this is really neat, because during the wedding, we were talking about love in a brief sense. Out of time, I really wasn't able to get into my sermon, because I was ready to go into a sermon just about. But the culmination of that sermon was, you know what? Jesus Christ did it. He didn't have to do it. He didn't really want to do it for the pain. Don't jump to my conclusion yet. He really didn't want to do it, because remember in the garden he said, "Lord, Father, if you can get this, if you could take this cup from me." So it wasn't really something he was looking forward to. Let's put it that way. But he did it anyway. He didn't have to. Didn't necessarily want to. Wasn't looking forward to it. But he chose to do it. That is what love is. Goes beyond a feeling. Feelings are good. They're of God for us to use properly. But they don't rule us. We choose. And it's a choice. There's things you'll have to forsake in this life. There's things you're going to have to say, "God, I give this on your altar. I put it on the altar because I know you don't want me to engage in that. I know you don't want me to do that. And so I give it to you. I know you don't want me to be like this. So Lord, I just ask that you'd help me to change." There's a cost to it. It's absolutely free. You receive it as a free gift. But then there's a cost if you want to be his disciple, because he says, now count the cost. Count anyone who does not deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. He cannot be my disciple. If you want to be my disciple, you got to count the cost, because there is a cost. And the cost is that you put Christ first place. He is first place. And when he tells you what he wants in your life, that you begin to walk and begin to look to that as the goal of your life is to be like Christ. And let me tell you something, that may sound negative at first, because you say, "Oh, I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up all this." Let me tell you something, the stuff you'll be giving up is absolutely useless and worthless without Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "Everything that I know, I was the most religious. I was a religious person. I was a priest. I was in the Sanhedrin. I was a man of God." And he said, "Everything that I had, my heritage, the fact that I was a Jew among Jews, everything that I owned, everything that I was about, I said, it became trash compared to the knowledge of Christ." Just knowing him, and this is what I want to do. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to follow him for the rest of my days. I will give my life for him. That's the cost. Because what I have is trash in comparison to the wonders of God. It's trash. Now, don't get me wrong. We have things in life, and they're there for us to enjoy. We have relationships in life. They're there for us to enjoy and to love. We have responsibilities to our families. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that those are trash. What I'm saying is, if you're trying to put all of that before Christ, it will become trash. Because if you put it before Christ, you will lose it. But if you put Christ first, you will gain it all back. What does he say? "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that the world seeks after, I will just give it to you. I know that you have needs. I know you need clothing, and you need food, and you need shelter, and you need a new truck. I know what you need. Seek me first." That's the cost. "And then I will just give it to you. Lavish it upon you." Isn't that wonderful? And the cost is just putting Christ first. Christ is first. It's a gift of God. And it's worth having. He said, "There's nothing to compare with what I have for you." In another parable, he says, "There was a man who saw a treasure." He saw the treasure. It was in a field that didn't belong to him. And when he looked at the treasure and saw how wonderful it was, he went home, he sold everything that he had, everything that was sellable, he sold it, and he took the money, and he went and he bought that field. The question that I would say, now that we know that Jesus Christ is the only way, Rob taught us that last week, Have you bought that field yet? Have you bought it? Whatever you have is not worth hanging on to if you don't have Christ. Take it by the field and see if God doesn't bless you above all you can think of. His healing, His love, His care, His heaven, His presence will be yours. And it's all free. But count the cost. I'm going to ask if the worship team would come forward. Have you counted the cost yet? Jesus Christ, first place. You might say, you know, I've received Christ, but maybe He's not first place. Well, that happens to a lot of us. So what is the remedy to that? Just coming back to Christ. You know, He says, I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving you. If you haven't made Him first place, now's a great day to do it. Now's a great day to do it. As we sing and worship, and we're going to receive communion. If you haven't done it, I'll be glad to pray with you, and we can receive Christ right now. Make Him first place. If you don't come up and you know that you need to do it, and you don't come up for prayer, that's okay. During communion, that's the time to say, God, I need to make You first place. I counted the cost. I know it's my life. You gave Your life to me. I'm going to give my life to You. And it's okay. As we sing, let's remember God's love. What He gave us was so fantastic. We've got to start thinking that way. Think of what it would mean if someone came up to you and say, hey, I've got a free gift to you. I want to give it to you. It's eternal life. You're going to live forever. So, well, that's good. Well, where will I live? Well, I'm going to put you in my home. I'm going to have you come to my home, and I'm going to make it your home, and it's going to be heaven for eternity. Well, that's a good deal. And then Christ is going to say, you're going to live with me. You're going to live in eternity. I'm going to have things for you to do that are going to be, you're going to love doing them, and they're going to be great, and you're going to live with me forever in my heaven, and you're going to be surrounded by the angels, and you're going to be judging the angels, you know, to making sure that they stay on track. You know, the Bible says that we will judge angels. I've got things for you that you can't even imagine. And the beauty that you see on this earth, man, I created this earth in 6 days, but guess what? Jesus is preparing our home for the last 2,000 years. He says He's going to come back after He's done. After we're ready, when He's ready, I'm going to take you into my heaven. It's going to be glorious. That's a good deal. It's a free gift, too. Well, what's the cost? Receive me as your Lord and Savior. That's all you have to do. Receive me as your Lord and Savior. Put me first place. You know, I don't know about you. I'm pretty dim when it comes to business deals sometimes, you know. I'll jump into things and not think about them like I should enough. But I'll tell you something, that sounds like a good deal to me. I'm willing to pay the cost. Because I've come to find out, as great as this life is at times, I want more. It doesn't have enough. I want more. Stand to our feet and we'll sing.